Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt so filthy that you just had to take a shower? You had to be clean, right? Now, not later. You had to be clean right this instant. You felt so dirty, so icky, that you just had to get as clean as possible, as quick as possible. See, contact with certain things, disgusting things, gross things, vulgar things, raunchy, corrupted, putrid things, leave us needing to be clean. To take a long bath, to be scrubbed down, hosed off, desperate for a hazmat crew to hit us with a decon shower. You felt this way. Perhaps you realize I'm not just talking about physical filth, although that is true, it can be physical. But the kind of dirty that I'm talking about is the kind of dirty that soils your soul, makes your spirit squirm in disgust, like you want to crawl out of your skin and get away from it. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, me too. Today, as we remember our Lord's baptism, we're reminded that He is our decon shower. He decontaminates us. He's our coarse, bristled brush that scrubs us clean. He's our lye soap and steaming hot water, your fire hose that hits you with so much pressure. When He's done cleaning you, your bones sparkle. John the Baptist knew what it was like to feel this kind of filthy. That's why when Jesus comes to be baptized by John, John says, "I need to be baptized by you. I need." He says, not, "I want to be baptized by you, Lord. I wish I was being baptized by you." No, "I need you to baptize me." See, John knew he needed to be clean from the filth of his sinful flesh. He'd been baptizing and he'd been preaching repentance in the wilderness, right? The turning away from sin. That's what John was up to. He was the baptizer, which is why Jesus came to him. He had been doing this for all these people. And like every faithful preacher, he preached to himself as much and even before he preached to those who gathered to hear his words. He needed to be clean. You need to be clean too. We all do. And you have been. If you've been baptized, you have been. When you were baptized, you were spiritually scrubbed spotless. Your baptism is why Jesus was baptized. He said that his baptism is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. See, Jesus was baptized not because he needed to have a decon shower. No, he was perfect, is perfect, sinless. He was baptized because you needed to be clean. Because your sin makes you filthy. And by entering the waters of his baptism, he made all baptismal waters fit for all righteousness, for removing all filth, your sin. Jesus was baptized because without him, your filthy mouth, your filthy mind, your filthy heart, your filthy hands, your propensity to sin, your inclination to sin, to lie, to lust, to slander, steal, cheat, hurt, covet, blaspheme, idolize, manipulate, dishonor, ignore, it would be on you still. It would be in you still. You wouldn't have a way of washing it off. You would be living in a house without a shower, without a tub, without even a sink. No plumbing, no water flowing, no way of getting clean. Stuck
in your stench.
So he was baptized. Your filth has been removed.
It's gone.
Your baptism is a constant decon shower. You live in the shower. You never get out. Jesus went to the cross where he died. Do you remember what happened while he was on the cross? There's an interesting little aspect of that part of Jesus' story. A Roman centurion pierces him with a spear, right? Maybe you remember that. And what flows out of the Lord's side when he's pierced? Water and blood. Water and blood. The water and blood that sprays you down and makes you clean. It hoses you off. The fountain of fluid that frees you from your flesh's filth and makes your spirit spotless. That's what poured out of your Lord at his death. Out of his side was punched a hole, a tap, so that you could be showered with what was in him because of what's in you. Like when Adam was put to sleep in the Garden of Eden, what happened? The Lord removed a chunk of his side to create his bride. We often refer to that as his rib, but in the Hebrew, it's a chunk of his flesh, a chunk of his side from that location was removed to make his bride, to make Eve. From Jesus' side came the material used to create his bride, the church, you, to make you clean, to clean you and prepare you for your wedding day, to be wed to him for eternity, righteous and free from filth, wearing your white wedding dress, perfectly clean. This is why Jesus died, to make you clean, to fulfill all righteousness, the righteousness he began in his baptism, to make good your baptism into his baptism, into his death and what came after it, his resurrection, to justify you and make you spotless so that you could get away from sin once and for all and live a life free without that feeling of gross that haunts you. This is why we have faith in Jesus. He's promised to make you pure, to remove the filth that contaminates your very being. He died to take away your sin. And in baptism, it's gone. All your sins removed. Those you committed before your baptism, and yes, all those you've committed since your baptism. And all the sins you're going to commit. Why? Because your baptism is a all-the-time decon shower. It's not a one-time event. It now reigns over your entire life. The only time you step out of your baptism shower is at death, when you step into heaven. When you step into paradise, then you can towel off. Now, you're living in that water flow. It's pouring out of Jesus' side every single day of your life, forgiving you and washing you clean. Like John, you needed to be baptized, and you have been. What's our epistle reading say? 1 Corinthians, this is 1:30-31. Those two verses say, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Boast in his baptism, in his life lived perfectly, because yours is not lived perfectly. In his death, that he died perfectly, without wavering, sacrificing himself willingly out of love for you. He loved you. He loves you and all mankind. And so we boast in his resurrection, because he's given his resurrection to us. You'll be resurrected just as he is. Alive forever. My friends, Jesus stepped into the waters of holy baptism for the same reason the Ark of the Covenant, which we heard about in our Old Testament reading, was brought into the Jordan River so that God's people could pass through the waters on sure ground. But as we think about our readings today and reflect on that Old Testament text, I want you to consider this. We're often inclined to see ourselves as Israel. We are the new Israel, right? But you are the priesthood of believers. You're a priest. You're not just an Israelite. You are an Israelite. You are a Christian, God's people, but you're a priest. You are like the Levitical priests who carried the ark into the water. You bear the word of God. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've been given the name of the one who attached his word to all baptismal waters. His word is on you. The word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is upon you. You entered the water like the Levitical priests. And what did God have Joshua command the priests in Joshua 3:8? When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, same river Jesus is baptized in, yeah, not coincidentally. When you come to the brink of those waters, you shall stand still, priests. Stand still in the Jordan. You stand still in the river of Jesus, the river you're baptized in. You, Christians, shall stand still in the waters of your baptism. That is, you shall remain in repentance. Remain in your hot shower. I don't know about you, but it's tempting just to stay in that shower in the morning. Just let the water... I know a few people in my family who like that. I can tell every month when the bill comes. You remain in your repentance, in that hot shower that cleans you and revives your soul. The shower of the river, the sacrifice of Jesus, his river, so that it continually washes over your head, keeping your filth flowing down the drain, never stuck to you. You shall stand still in your baptism, always remembering the covenant of the Lord. The covenant, the promise that he's made with you. The covenant of his body and blood given and shed to forgive you all your sins. Your baptism. His covenant that he will be your wisdom. He will be your righteousness. He will be your sanctification and redemption. You shall stand still and remember that Jesus made you a promise, a covenant. He promised to rescue you from not only this broken world, but from yourself, from your own filthy heart, filthy mind, from your own filthy mouth and filthy hands. He promised to scrub all of this clean. He promised to love you, to be your hero, to fulfill all righteousness, your righteousness, our righteousness. And that promise is good. It is good to stand still in the waters that contain the Word of God, to stand still in your baptism every single day. You have been forgiven. Stand still in that truth. You are forgiven of your filth. Your sin is no more. You are in Christ Jesus. He has made you clean. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.